All right. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed that music there, didn't you?
Amen.
I enjoyed that. That's good. That's good. Brother Manning, good to see you. See you, preacher. Good to see all of you this morning. It's a good crowd.
Amen.
It's a good crowd. Let me tell you, some of the best services I've ever been in my life has been morning services. Some of the best. I ain't saying anything against evening services, but some of the best ones I've ever been in has been morning services. And I'm glad to be here. And I've enjoyed all week long. I hadn't been here all week, but I've enjoyed the part of the week that I've been here. And I've enjoyed hearing Brother Rule preach.
Man.
Enjoyed your choir. Enjoyed the fellowship. Enjoyed all of it. The meals. Thank you for everything. It's all been good. And the nice room over there is so nice. So nice. I appreciate it. Nice and clean. And boy, I'll tell you, I hadn't had any trouble sleeping, not at all. And I don't have any trouble going to sleep. Look in your Bibles. I'm going to get at it here, and I apologize for preaching so long last night. Seemed like it was long to me. You know, old Dr. Seidler said if a man can't say what he's got to say in about 35 minutes, he ought to quit. Well, then I probably ought to quit. I probably ought to quit because I can't hardly spell my name in 35 minutes. But I'm going to do the best I can to get down and let Brother Rule come preach to you. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and look in the book of Job in the 16th chapter. I love your preacher very much. Me and him just, we just click. And I love him. I love these preachers here. It's good to see all of you. I heard Brother Damaris was here this week. I didn't get to see him. But I love that guy too. All of you preachers. I appreciate all of you and love you. I had fun last night with Brother Bell said, now if any of y'all are upset at what he preached, and I said, I'm going to say something here. I said, if y'all upset, Brother Richardson's going to meet you in the foyer. I'm going out the back door. He's big enough to meet you in the foyer, I tell you that for sure, ain't he? Look at Job 16. I'm going to read some verses, several verses here, and I'm just going to try to help you this morning. Now, this is one of them sermons, you may not even need it. Right now, you might say, well, you know, I wish he'd preached on something else. You may not need a thing I'm saying this morning. But there will come a time in your life that this right here is going, you're going to say, man alive. So if I was you, and I'm not trying to sell CDs or tapes or whatever they're on, but if I was you, I'd probably try to get this and put it somewhere. Hide it. Just keep it. Do you know that in my office, I'm going to tell you this, that I have a box, a black box about this long and about that wide that sits on a bookshelf behind my desk that's got sermons with people that have problems that I've got the answers in that box on sermons. For instance, I'll give you an example and I'll preach to you. Had a woman come in one night as bitter as she could be. Her husband walked off and left her with three kids and just walked off and left her, and she'd gotten bitter. She come in and I recognized what the problem was that fast. I said, buddy, she's bitter. I didn't try to counsel her at all. I said, I know you're hurt and I know you're having problems, but I want to give you something. I want you to listen to it and then I want you to come back next Sunday. Just listen to this and come back. I turned and opened the box, and one of the greatest sermons I ever heard in my life on bitterness was preached by Adrian Rogers called The Blight of Bitterness. One of the best sermons I ever heard in my life on bitterness. I turned and got that CD and said, here you go. Let me have prayer with you. Listen to this. You promise you'll listen? She said, promise. Gave her the CD, had prayer with her. She got up and walked out. The next week, she came back and sat down and wept like a baby. She said, preacher, you don't have to say anything. Amen?
Amen.
I have another sermon by Larry Brown called The Dark Hour. You ever heard that sermon, The Dark Hour? And I was preaching in Illinois. And Larry Brown preached that sermon. in a morning service, the dark hour. And I was sitting right back over here, and he preached that message. And for some reason, boy, that thing just really, it spoke to me. Well, I wasn't even going through a dark hour. But in just a few weeks, I was going to have open heart surgery. It was going to change my whole world. See, I didn't know it, but the dark hour is just around the corner. What I did, I went and made dozens of copies. It's in that box. I've got others in there. I got sermons on the home by Curtis Hudson and others, just a host of sermons in there that are some of the best I have ever heard. Well, why not can them things? And when somebody's going through it, it'd take me hours to sit and tell somebody about what Adrian Rogers said in a sermon on bitterness. Why don't you just give them the sermon? I mean, it's worked for me. Now, there's been a few of them coming out. I didn't have no sermon for their problem. It was a new one. But I'm saying there's sermons sometimes that are preached that you may be needing it a month down the road. And that's why you ought to take notes. That's why you ought to sit up and listen. That's why you ought to once in a while get some of these messages, something that's been preached, just pick it up, take it, put it somewhere where you know where it's at. And by the way, even if you're not going through it, somebody you know might be. And you'd say, hey, listen to this, it'll help you. It could change somebody's life. Look at Job 16. Let me just preach a little bit here to you on this. I ain't going to finish it, but I'll just preach what I can of it and then quit. But look what it says in Job 16:1. Job's answering Eliphaz, one of his friends, I guess you would say, there. And he came to, and really, they were his friends. You know, everything he'd done been through. And they are not really helping things. Job called his friends physicians of no value, miserable comforters. Look what he said in verse 1. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end, or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as you do if I were in if your soul was in my soul's stead. I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. Look at verse number 5. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips would assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged, and though I forbear, what am I eased? But now he hath made me weary. Thou hast made me desolate, all my company. Thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me, and my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face. He teareth me in his wrath, who hateth me and gnasheth upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpeneth his eyes upon me. They have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over unto the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and hath shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. I want to preach to you this morning on when God shakes you to pieces. Not when the devil shakes you, when God does it. There's a difference. See, God allowed the devil to be part of this thing, to use him. But the devil really would have destroyed Job completely, remember? He would have totally, brother, he'd annihilated him, took him out. And God said, God was bragging on Job. God said, you want to see a real Christian? There he is. And the accuser of the brethren started, didn't he? He said, well, I'd serve you too if you give me a ranch, side of his. All them sheep, all them cattle, all them oxen, all them servants. Look at his bank account. The Lord said, well, you can go get it. He'll still serve me. Then he come back and said, if you let me touch his flesh, I'll get him. And he said, you can do anything you want to him short of taking his life.
Right.
He took his kids, took everything. Now, brother, let me tell you something. Job said, God took me up by my neck and God shook me to pieces. God shook me to pieces. Now, I'm preaching to you on what do you need when God shakes you to pieces? What have you got to have to make it? What do you have to have? A lot of people don't make it. A lot of people just falls out and quits. Says, I mean, some looking for a way out and just say, I can't handle all this. But let me tell you something. The Bible said a man that's born of a woman's a few days and full of trouble. Well, Brother Bell, if we're going to be full of trouble, then you better learn how to handle trouble. If you're going to deal with it all the time, you better be learning how to deal with it. People say, I just don't want no trouble, so I go around it. Sorry, but you can't. There's sometimes you can't go around. It's too wide. Moses couldn't go around the Red Sea. He had to go through it. But God made a way. Daniel couldn't go around the den of lions. He had to go through the den of lions. Not the lion's den. Lion's den would be where there had been some lions. He went in a den of lions where they were. Amen?
Amen.
The children of Israel there, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Hebrew boys, they couldn't go around the furnace. They had to go through the furnace. You said, what was God doing? He was shaking them to pieces. Job was shaken to pieces. Now let me tell you, sometimes what you think is a storm may be a little something, but there is the storm. There's that one when somebody starts talking about battles that it immediately comes to your mind. And you know, let me tell you this, that most people have not been through what's really, really, honestly heavy, heavy trials. Most people that I know, they've been through a little stuff. But let me give you an example. I was preaching last year, or I think it was last year. I do a cowboy camp meeting. I started that thing preaching out of the back of a wagon, playing a guitar and singing and preaching out in New Mexico for Don Chitty. Yeah, some of y'all know Don Chitty, been an Indian missionary for years and years. Well, Don wanted me to come out there and preach, and I took an old flat top guitar and my Bible and went out there and stand up in the back of a wagon, literally. And the Indians sitting on the ground and on stumps. We started no tabernacle, no nothing. Now they got a nice tabernacle there and all. But I got to know some of his people. And I'd preach there like I have here so many times I'd been there. And his son called me. I was on my way to hold a revival in Dodge City, Kansas for Albert Schrock. I was on my way there to preach for Albert. And I got that day, I had the awfulest time getting through the airports. I got one flight was late, and I finally got to Dallas that evening, and I barely had time to get on the plane to get to where I was getting off and get to the next plane and fly to Garden City, Kansas, a little wide place in the road. And they was going to pick me up, and then it was a two-hour drive after they picked me up. I got to Dallas, and there was a black lady who was working the counter where you went up to get, and I walked up, and I said, ma'am, y'all haven't done left, have you? She said, where are you going? I said, Garden City, Kansas. Now, I've been traveling since 4 o'clock that morning. Oh, she said, honey, you know how they do. That flight's been canceled. Well, here I am in Dallas, Texas. I said, canceled? She said, yeah. I said, is there anything close to that I can get to? I said, man, I got to preach tonight. And talked to her. She's saved. She's doing everything she could to help me. She said, I can get you in, I forget what the name of the town is now, where I even went. But it was a little place out there somewhere in the plains, just a little bitty place. It wasn't nothing. When I got there, it was just a motel and a road and a little Denny's sitting over by itself. But when I got to there that evening, I called a preacher. I'd never been so tired. And I thought, man, I've had a rough day. Then Don Chitty, I'm telling you this story, Don Chitty called me and said, Brother Cox, are you somewhere traveling somewhere? And I said, yeah, I'm trying to get out of Texas and to Kansas and get to my meeting. And He said, well, I want you to sit down. I want to tell you something. Well, he's got a man at his church named Leland Jim. He's a full-blooded Navajo Indian, Leland Jim, and his wife, Terry, two of the sweetest Christians. They're in the bus ministry. I think she plays the piano for the Navajo church, you know, that's just Navajo-speaking people. And I think he's one of the staff member there. Well, he said, let me tell you what happened. Yesterday, the preacher, Brother Chitty and Mrs. Chitty and Leland and Terry went and held a revival for Daryl Hurst up in Kentucky. And while they were there, he said they got a phone call. And Leland's daughter, who lives in Florida, had been separated from her husband. And they got two babies. And he said, while Leland's up there preaching, he gets his phone call. And the police calls him and said, we need you to fly to Florida down here and identify your daughter and two grandkids. And he said, what in the world's happened? And what had happened was this boy, her husband, was stalking her. And just everywhere she'd go, he was there and trying to get her to go back with him and all that. And he was just a mental case. But anyhow, he had a key to her car, so he hid in the trunk. He opened the trunk while she's in a restaurant eating, got in it. She come out, preacher, and got in the car, buckled her two babies in the back seat. And when she starts to get into driver's seat, he jumps out of the trunk with a big hunting knife and stabs her multiple times, throws her aside, jumps in the car, and takes off with the two babies in the back. Did you hear about this in Florida? Did you hear about this? Anyhow, he takes off and he goes through town and he makes a loop through the town. Well, that time somebody called these EMT workers, you know, and they're working with her. Well, he comes through there crazy. I'm talking about just what happened. He ran over her again and hit them. Run over these EMT. It's just bizarre what all's happening. He takes off again, but that time state troopers are everywhere looking for him. You know, they set up a roadblock. They knew where he was coming. They set up a roadblock. He comes through there and runs through it. And they take off after him. He swerves off of the road, takes a pistol, and turns around and kills both of his kids and then shoots himself. Now, here's Terry and Leland up there in that meeting, preaching, doing all they can to be a blessing. And that fast, they were shaken to pieces. And they'd done had one boy killed by a drunk driver. A drunk driver done hit and killed one of their 15-year-old boys a few years before that. Hey, two of the sweetest, most generous, kind Christians I've ever met. Now you say, preacher, can you explain that? You know, I will tell you this. Deuteronomy 29:29 said the secret things belong unto the Lord. No, I can't. I cannot explain it. But I know this, that I preach for Don Chitty the next week at Cowboy Camp. And let me tell you what's unreal. Over here on the platform is a chairs aimed this way, about two rows of chairs aimed this way. And you ain't going to believe who was there every night. Sitting right here and sitting right there was Leland and Terry Jim. Five nights. Didn't miss a night. And they just buried their daughter and two grandbabies. They had to get on a plane in Kentucky and fly to Florida and identify. Can you imagine what that'd be like? Then they got on a plane after they took care of things and went back to New Mexico. And I called Don. I said, Don, how are they doing? He said, well, he said, Leland drove his bus this morning. And Terry played the piano. They was here. They're here. Now you say, friend, you cannot for the life of you explain some things. But now that, when you think you're shook to pieces, when you start looking, you really ain't sometimes. Right. But there may come a time that you are. Now, right. Let me just say this real quickly, and here's the sermon. What do you need when you're shook to pieces? What's God trying to teach you? What this? First thing you need is a positive friend. You need a positive friend. Hey, I'll tell you this. Job didn't need Eliphaz. And Bildad. Zophar. He didn't need that much, did he? You know what Job told him in chapter 16, verses 1? Remember what he said? If I was in your stead, I wouldn't heap up words against you. Man, I'd be trying to help you. Boy, thank God for friends. Thank God for good friends. And let me tell you something. You don't need to be in life to where you just cut yourself off to where you ain't got no friends. Brother, you better have them, because sometimes it might be the only thing keeps you sane. But here's the good part. Proverbs 18:24, he said, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So he's always there. Amen? He's always there. But you need a friend. And let me tell you something. One thing I can be, I may not be the best preacher. I may not be the best nothing. But Brother Richard, I can be a friend. I can be a friend.
Amen.
I can make a phone call. I can go see somebody's going through. I can write a letter. I can make a phone call. I can go see somebody. I might not can do nothing when I get there, but I can get there. You know what I'm trying to say? I may not can take away the hurt, but I can be there. See? I can be there. And I'm simply saying that you need a positive friend. You don't need somebody saying, well, what'd you do to cause this? Job ain't done nothing. He's the best Christian brother that God had. God said he was. Hey, when God says you are, you are. He was the best, and he was the best God had. And here's this crowd coming in there saying, well, what have you done? What have you been into that caused all of this? He said, you're heaping up words against me. Brother, let me tell you, when you're shook to pieces, you need a positive friend. Let me give you something else. Hey, remember the man that was blind and Jesus healed him in John chapter 9? And they come to him and said, who did this? He said, a man named Jesus. He said, a man named Jesus. He said, well, a sinner can't do this, they said. Brother Richard, he said this. If he's a sinner, I don't know, but I can tell you one thing. Once I was blind, now I see. And they excommunicated him, throwed him out.
Yes, sir.
Old boy standing over there off by himself, and guess who showed up?
Amen.
Jesus.
Yep.
Jesus went to that one, been shook to pieces, been disowned by mom and dad, been disowned by the church, been disowned by everything. Shook to pieces, and a friend that stick closer than a brother showed up. Amen.
Yes.
Then let me say this. When God shakes you to pieces, we need a pure record. You need a pure record. Look at chapter 16 again, and look at verse 19. Look what Job said here. Chapter 16, verse 19. He said, also now behold my witnesses in heaven, and my records on high. You know what Job was saying? I've been living right, doing right. See, there's a difference in God trying you and God chastising you.
Amen.
This ain't chastisement. They thought it was, but it wasn't no chastisement to this. He said, my record's on high. God could pull my record and see that I love him. God could pull my record and see that I've been reading my Bible and praying. I've been raising my kids for God, been doing everything I knew to do for God. My record's on high. You know, we need a pure record. He was a God-fearing man. He feared God. He was a family man. He loved his family, you know. And all of it. You know something? Hey, and let me tell you, once in a while you get God to change his mind on county record. Remember old Hezekiah?
Yeah, sir.
Old Hezekiah was dying. He had a sickness unto death, and God told Isaiah, you go in and tell him, set his house in order. He's getting ready to meet God. Remember that? And old Isaiah walked in there and said, you better set everything in order. You're getting ready to die. And the Lord said, and Hezekiah, you know what he did? He started reminding God, I've walked before you in truth. I've did what's right. I've served you and loved you and been faithful to you. And Lord, please have mercy on me. And God said, I'll give you 15 more years. That's a long time, man.
Amen.
And you know what he did? He stopped old Isaiah out there in the courtyard and said, hey,
yep,
go back and tell him he's got 15 years.
Right.
Go back and tell him. Ain't that something?
Amen.
He walked back in and said, God said he'd give you 15 more years to live. You know why? He examined his record. Pure record. See, my record's on high. So what do you need when he shakes you to pieces? Positive friend. You need a pure record. See. Now let me give you something else. When God shakes you to pieces, we need a purpose to keep on serving him. You know what will keep you going is a purpose. If you ain't got no purpose, you won't keep going. Look at Job 13. Job 13. Job 13. Look what it says. Job 13 through 16. Look what it says. Hold your peace. He's trying to stop this crowd again. Let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in thy hand? Look at this. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He said, if God kills me and lets me die in this thing, let it come if that's what's going to happen. But he said, if it does, I'm going to maintain my ways. You know what that means? I'll keep teaching my Sunday school class. I'll keep working in children's church. I'll keep playing that piano. I'll keep ushering. I'll keep singing in that choir. See? I'll keep preaching. I'll keep pastoring the church. If he shakes me to pieces to the point that it's my death, I'll be faithful. What is it saying? Revelation is faithful unto death. Paul said, I finished my course, and he didn't finish it without being shook to pieces a few times. If you don't believe it, read 2 Corinthians 11. Brother, they worked Paul over, didn't they? He went through it. I mean, he got off of that one storm and got on the island of Melita. And as soon as he got off that boat, he started helping them gather wood and got snake bit. And they said, he's a murderer. He's a murderer. And then, he said, when he didn't fall down dead or swell up, they said, he's a god now. He ought to die. And you know what, though? A lot of people swell up too easy and quit. The snakes is going to bite. But you can't swell up. You just got to keep on going. When you get shook to pieces, you got to keep your purpose. Keep your purpose. Well, what is your purpose? My purpose, listen, God wants me, the will of God for me is pastor my church. They operated on me and put me in the hospital with this open heart stuff. And tonight, Brother Bell, I was having it. I mean to tell you, I had some company that Sunday night, and he was going to operate Monday morning. And after the company left, I turned the lights out and tried to lay down, think about the next morning they were coming to get me. And boy, listen, the devil got in my room and started just telling me all kinds of crazy stuff. This is it for you. You're through. You ain't going to preach no more. You ain't going to be able. You know what I've done? I got out of bed and got this red Schofield that I carry. And I got that thing out, and I walked around in the room reading verses out loud. Just reading the Word of God, just reading to myself. And here come a woman in from a nurse or a doctor or something. She come in from the, from the anesthesia department. And she said, sir, I come up here to talk to you. To give you something to calm you down. I said, well, who told you I was tore up? Well, she said, nobody, but it's a procedure. Most people really have some problems with this when they figure out what's going on. Hey, and I wouldn't have had much problems. Man, they wouldn't show me a video. I said, cut that. Lord God, I said, cut that thing off, man. I said, I'll back out of it and just go on and die. I don't see no video of what's going to go on. You know, that's like an execution. Say, we're fixing to lead you out here and do it. I said, man, don't show me no video. I done seen enough. Amen. I know. When they said, we're going through your chest, I already know it wasn't good. But she said, I brought you some dope, you know, or what you call it, whatever you want to call it. I brought you some stuff to make you not care what we do. That's what she said. I said, ma'am, There ain't nothing you can do and give me to where I don't care. I got enough sense to know I got a rough road coming. But I said, but you don't need to give me nothing. I said, I got everything I need right here.
Amen.
I said, I've been riding this book since 69. And I'm going to ride it. I said, if tomorrow's my graveyard, then we're going to ride her into the graveyard. I said, I don't need a bunch of pills. The only pill I need is a gospel pill.
Amen.
I don't need no bunch of pills to get me through here. Amen?
Amen.
But you know what? That was a dark time. That was a hard time. And buddy, listen, I woke up in that thing and they had me in ICU. And I mean, listen, I had a pipe down my throat, looked like a water hose. And I thought, oh, my goodness. They, Brother Richard, they pulled that thing out. And I'll be honest. I mean, I just felt like I was going to die. But you know what? She said, if you can get your feet on the floor, they pulled that pipe out of my hose out of my throat, you know. She said, if you can get your feet on the floor, if you can just stand up and you can eat some Jell-O, we're gonna take you out of ICU. I said, man, give that Jell-O here. She gave me a little thing of Jell-O and I ate it, and they put me in a wheelchair and rolled me out of there. Listen to this. 2 weeks later, I was standing in the pulpit. 2 weeks. They told me to take off 3 months only because 3 months? I'd take off 3 months. God help. I said, hey, I could be resurrected from the dead and be back in less than 3 months. I didn't need that. I was back. Now let me tell you, some dark hours. And even after I got done, I said, am I going to be able to do what I've been doing? It wasn't long after that, I was back on that bus, running that bus on Saturday and getting back. But there were some dark days, and it'll mess with you. But I'm going to tell you, you don't know what's coming. But when it comes, you need a positive friend. You need a pure record. Amen? You see, you need a pure record. Let me give you just a couple other things. Then I said you need a purpose. See, I had something to make me get up. I got to get up. I can't lay down here. I got to get up from here, see. And you got to have something to get you out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
You got to have something that makes you get with it and say, listen, I've got to do this. See, this is something God wants for me. Let me give you this real quick, and I'll be through. When God shakes you to pieces, he's proven me to be a picture or an example to others. See, when I think about stopping, if I thought about quitting, I could look at Leland Jim and Terry, them little Indian people out there on that reservation. I go say, man, if Leland Jim can keep going, I can go. And sometimes I look, I'll say, if Brother Bell can keep going, I've got to keep going. Different ones is going to keep on going after they've been knocked down, man, I can get back up. I got to keep on going. You see, and what you got, but here's what God does. He sets you up as a picture so that others will keep going. Look at Job 16. Look at it real quick. Now I'm about through here. Job 16, look at verse 12. I was at ease, and he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me up by my neck and shaken me to pieces. Look at this. And set me up for his mark. You know what that means? He set me up as his example. You ever hear people going through trouble say, boy, I tell you what, I feel like Job. Well, they don't. But to them, they're saying, but God set Job up there to say, anybody, if this man can keep going, anybody can keep going. I mean, hey, can you imagine? The first thing that came was 10 dead kids. I got 3. I can't imagine if I got a telephone call. Hey, I got a man in my church, Ricky Howe, one of the best friends I got. I led Ricky to Christ years ago. Him and Brenda. They had 3 of the prettiest girls you've ever saw in your life. Beautiful girls. I'm talking about look like movie stars. 3 of them. And one night a drunk driver plowed into their car and pinned them in there, and it caught fire. They said none of them, when they did the autopsies, had one mark on them. They all burned to death. I remember that morning getting that telephone call. Brother, you walk into a house where somebody's lost every kid they got, all of them. There ain't nothing at your college or no other college will teach you what to do when that comes. No, nowhere. There's no lecture on this that says, this is what you do when somebody's lost every kid they got. This is what you say when you go. I'm telling you, brother, it's one of the most emotional, draining things. Hey, I went up there. There was as many people in that yard that morning. I got there before daylight. There was more people in that yard standing up there before daylight than there is right here, family members. Just moaning and walking around, bawling and hugging each other. And I pull up and get out of the car and you walk into that. And Keith said, preacher, you're going to have to go in there. His mother just got home from open heart surgery about 4 or 5 days before that. Said, you're going to have to go in there. None of us can tell Mama they're dead. Would you go in there and tell her that her grandkid's dead? I said, if you'll go in, turn the light on. And I walked there and sat down on the edge of her bed. And she said, what's wrong? She just looked, she said, what's wrong? I said, Doc, we got some bad news. I said, listen, it's your granddaughters. They've had a wreck. She said, well, are they? And I said, yes. Then I had to go to a hospital, and there was the mother and daddy in the emergency room. They thought they was having heart attacks. Then I had to leave and go to another. And by the way, they loaded that woman up and had put her right in the back of an emergency vehicle and took off straight to the hospital there. You talking about a mess. Dark times, shaken to pieces. That family still right now, mentally it really worked with them. Every time one of them has a birthday or Christmas, can you imagine what Christmas would be like? All your kids dead. Every one of them dead. The only thing they got is pictures. I remember going over to the house and the mother pulled out a Schofield Bible. She said, preacher, I'm going to lay their Bibles in the caskets and up there where their caskets are. And she said, preacher, and she had a little envelope, looked like a tithing envelope. And she pulled out of it a little piece of cotton and it was two little black necklaces that had been charred black and a little watch, two watches. That had stopped on the same time. The time had stopped on the same time. Little black watches, charred black. And a little corner off of a $20 bill. And she said, preacher, on Wednesday I had three of the most beautiful daughters that ever lived. And this is what they brought me back of them. This is all I have of them now. Two little necklaces, two little watches, a piece of $20 bill. That's all they brought back. You think that won't shake you to pieces? Hey, when that comes, let me tell you, you better have a positive friend and it better be Jesus. Hey, you better have a pure record. You better have a purpose to keep you going because you're going to be a picture. If somebody tells me now, I can't make it, preacher, I can't. I'll say, well, what about Ricky Howell over here? Rick's still in church serving the Lord. He made it. I had another preacher friend of mine, wasn't a preacher friend, but a friend of mine went to a church in a town away. And he had two sons. Listen to this. They'd been out on a lake in a boat one evening. And they said, it looks like a storm's coming up. Brother Bill, they pulled that boat. They got it out of the lake. And they started walking. He got out of the boat and had his wife by the hand. And her two boys was behind them. And this man told me, he said, I felt a tingle go up my arm. Just a tingle went up my arm through my shoulder. And all of a sudden, there was a strike of lightning like you've never heard it in your life pop. He said, everything turned blue. And I turned around to look at my two boys and tell them to run. And both of them was laying on the ground dead from that lightning. Let me tell you something. You think you're shook to pieces, but you really don't know. Sometimes you don't know what being shook to pieces is. But if it comes, you better have something you're anchored to. Amen. You know what this meeting's about this week? You know what this meeting is about? Getting you help and knowing where to get the help and what to do Because we don't know, Brother Bell, if the Lord will come back before next Faith Harbor Week. And we don't know what's going to happen between this Faith Harbor and the next one. So you better take something with you. I'm not trying to preach a pretty sermon. I'm trying to give you something to hold you. I'm trying to give you something that if no matter what comes this week, you can take it. That's what I'm trying to do. He set you up as a picture. Hey, let me tell you something else. I'm through. It's 2 minutes to 11. I'm quitting at 11. When God shakes you to pieces, it is to present your heart soft. See, sometimes I'm speaking for me. That's in Job 23 and verse number 13. Look at Job 23, verse 13. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what is his soul desire, even that he doeth? For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence when I consider I'm afraid of him. Look at this. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. He said, I didn't die before all this happened. But God made my heart soft. You know what he does sometimes is this, and it scares me about myself. Sometimes I think I'm way too hard. I mean, just that I don't have enough compassion, or maybe I don't have enough tenderness about me. And I don't want God. I try to be conscious of that. But Brother Richardson, I dad sure don't want this to have to be softened. You see what I'm trying to say? Amen. Buddy. But I do want my heart soft. Yes. You know, I want to be able to weep with them and weep. Yes. I want my heart to be where God can use it. I don't want to get full of pride. I don't want to get full of hard. And by the way, if you let it, there's enough things going to hit you in life to make you hard. There's be some things, if you ain't careful, buddy, how you handle things, you can let things get you hard as concrete. And then you say, well, I don't trust nobody, I don't do this, that. And you can let things make you hard. Now, I don't mean not taking a stand against sin and stuff. I ain't talking about that. There's a right. What I'm trying to say, we need to do that. But on the next thing, we need to take a stand on what's right. But on the same note, if somebody comes to me in my church and they're going through it, I want to be able to cry with them. I want my heart to be able to be moved at a song or a sermon. He maketh my heart soft. You know, when God shakes you to pieces, I can pray more diligently. You know, we ought to pray because it's right to pray and God commands us to pray. But in Job 16 and verse 16, Job 16, I'm through. This is all I'm going to give you. Job 16. My face is foul with weeping, on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Not for any justice in mine hands. Also my prayer is pure. O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no place. And now behold, my witness is in heaven and my records on high. Did you hear what he said? My prayer is pure. He prayed. When God takes you up by your neck and shakes you to pieces, you know, some stuff's not no good till it's shook. It ain't no good. You ever read stuff where it says shake before using? Shake well? Well, before God can really use us, lots of times he says, you know, I need to pick him up by the neck Read biographies of some of these missionaries. The fires they had, the deaths, burying kids on the mission field, burying their wives. Some of them buried two wives and all their children. And yet, they were shook to pieces. But here we are 150 years later, reading their biographies and saying, what a man. Because God set him up as a mark. Well, our Heavenly Father, I'm not sure if it helped or not. But Lord, someday somebody, maybe even me, is going to need this. And Lord, many times when I'm preaching to a congregation, I'm preaching not only to them, but to me. God, we sure thank you for Job. I guess we'll really never know how great a man he was till we get to glory and meet him and you reveal it. But Lord, I'm not Job, but I'm not of that caliber. So I pray, Lord, if I get shook to pieces, you'd have mercy on me. Help me. Help the people in this room. When battles come, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, I'm done.